The Sadducees seek to deceive our Lord. Indeed, they asked him a question about the resurrection when they themselves did not believe in the resurrection. But our Lord, as the church teaches us, can neither be deceived nor can he deceive, corrects them at this point, because during his life on earth, during his pilgrimage on earth as man, our Lord always sought to bring his mercy to all souls. Even those that he would admonish with stern corrections, he did for one purpose and one purpose only, so that in the time while they lived on this earth, they may come to their senses, repent of their sin, convert, and take up the gospel way of life. And he tells us why they should do this, for he says at the end that he is the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob, and that he is the God of the living and not of the dead. Often in our modern society, we have fallen to that philosophical false principle that has declared God is dead, that or if that he is alive, he has nothing to do with his creatures. But the incarnation of Christ and the manner in which he went about correcting sinners, admonishing even those of bad will, as the Sadducees showed themselves to be today, asking a question about something that they did not even themselves believe in, he shows truly that he is a God of mercy and a God of love. For in becoming man, he became man in order to teach us the way to salvation. And so he shows himself someone to be trusted, someone in which we can put all our trust and all our hope in. And so let us strive in this day and age when it is so popular to believe that God is dead, or that if he is alive, he has nothing to do with his creatures. Let us show our belief in the incarnation, that God was so much alive that he would become man in order to touch us in a human way, in order to love us with his most sacred heart, and most especially in order to love us with that most profound act of love by which he would sacrifice that sacred humanity on Calvary for the sake of sinners. And we do this most particularly when we try to instill in all that we do and show the belief that we have that Jesus Christ truly became man, and he became man to first restore beauty to the soul of man, so that the soul of man, now guided by the grace of God, may restore the beauty to the created order, so that all witness to that presence of Christ in the world, so that while we repent, admitting that we are sons of Adam, and in him we have been capitulated, that in Christ we have been raised up and recapitulated. And so we have much work to do for the Lord, because we have a kingdom that he has come to establish to show forth to the world. And so let us strive always to humbly ask for the grace to keep our souls beautiful as they first became in our baptism, and as they remain as long as we avoid sin, and most especially mortal sin. And so let us have frequent recourse to the sacraments, so that we may be strengthened by God's grace, not losing that most precious gift he has given us, so that all we do, all that we say, and all that we think in some way communicates to the world that Jesus Christ was present, that God truly is present among his creatures, but not in some inferior way, but truly and really he was present as a man amongst us, in order to love us, in order to touch us with his human heart, in order that we may praise that heart and glorify that heart for all eternity with him in heaven.